This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Let us pray. God, our Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer, we ask right now in a special way that you speak to us, that we, your servants, might hear, but not just be hearers, that we can follow. Have your way, God. You're the potter we are, but clay. Mold us and make us after your will. While we're waiting, yielded and still. Direct us, God. Bless us, God. Keep us, God. We'll give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I had a subject this morning, it would be, let's do it. Let's do it. Tell the folks sitting around you, let's do it. Jesus said, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Jesus said, I'm not talking about what the governor said, the mayor, the president. Jesus said, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And it tells us that God would do greater things through us, even in our darkest times. We can trust that God would do what he said he'll do. What we have to do is believe that God would do what he said he would do. So the question is, do you really trust God? Do we really expect great things from God? Or have we kind of given up on God, given up on what he can do, especially what he can do through us? The Bible is clear. We just have to believe it. Do you trust God? Do you expect great things? Even in life's most difficult times, God is still God. Let me pause right there and say that again. Even at life's most difficult times, God is still God. He's sitting on the throne. God will do what he said he'll do. Y'all've heard me say this many times. People say, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And that ain't true. No, ma'am, no, sir. No. God said it. That settles it. Actually, whether you believe it or not, it's going to happen, as God said. What you have to believe is when you have an opportunity to affect what's happening in your life. And if you can believe that God would do what he said in your life, you are become a catalyst for making it actually happen. What, why, and what are we seeking God for? When we are seeking God, shaping lives, serving the world. Why are we doing it? We say that's our mission. Seeking God, shaping lives, serving the world. But why? And striving for excellence in kingdom building. But why? Are we doing it just because it's a catchy little phrase? Seeking God, shaping lives, serving the world. That sounds good. That's what we're doing. Are we actually seeking God? Are we actually shaping lives through teaching? And are we actually serving the world through mission and evangelism?
It's not just because we have to have a mission statement or we just have to have a vision statement, but it's so we can actually release the power of God that's in us to do the work God wants us to do. And he wants us to do his will. And we need to say to each other, let's do it. It's time to get it done. There's a need for all of us to raise our individual and our collective appreciation and to raise our individual and collective expectation of what God can and will do through us. Sometimes we think too lowly of ourselves. We don't think high enough of ourselves. We think we really can't do what God has designed for us to do. And he's designed us to do various things. An apple seed was talking to an orange seed one day. And the apple seed said to the orange seed, I expect you to be an orange tree. Apple seed said to the orange seed, I expect you to be an orange tree. And the orange tree becomes an orange tree over time. Why is that? Because that's what's in it. An apple tree was not in the orange seed. An orange tree was in the orange seed. And it became what it was expected to become. God has placed his Holy Spirit in us. And we must, through trial, tribulation, hardships, whatever we got to go through, but we must become who and what God expects us to become. Amen. It's in us. That's what God expects us to become. That's his expectation of us. We lower our expectations of what God expects from us. We could be so much better. Jesus said, greater works than I have done, you will do. He's talking to us. That's his expectation of us. Isn't it truly remarkable how we don't expect that much from God? We'll pray and we doubt whether or not the prayer is going to come true. We doubt whether or not it will come to pass. Isn't it funny how we expect more from other people than we do from God? You expect the check from your boss because you work. We expect food and shelter from our parents because they're our parents. We expect love from our spouse. But what do we really expect from God? He has set this life up to bless us if we would truly be a blessing. God says, when he gives, when we give, he says he will open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing to receive it. And we'll say things like, well, when I give, I don't expect nothing. I'm just giving because I'm supposed to give. I give and I don't expect anything. But God said, I will open you the windows of heaven and pull you out a blessing. God said, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. Or let me put it another way. If I borrowed $50 from you, are you expecting it back? Especially when I said, I'm going to give you $75 back. Now, you're just saying, well, I gave it to you. I'm not expecting anything back. No, you'll be expecting more back from me than you expect from God. God is the one that said that he'll bless us in all these wonderful ways if we would trust him even in our giving and in our living. He says, when he that gives to the poor lendeth to the Lord. In other words, how we treat others is how we're treating God. And once we catch on to that, we'll find out how great God really is in our lives. We always say, if you're going to pray, why worry? And if you're going to worry, why pray? One song says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. God is going to answer our prayers and he's going to give us peace in our hearts There are certain conditions that we must meet. In fact, the meeting of these conditions is a blessing in itself. First thing is, we must pray in faith. It's a promise. It's a promise for us to claim. And the claiming of it demands faith, and faith implies expectation. When we pray, we're not just praying. We pray and believe. We have to pray believing that God would do what he said he would do. We have to pray and believe that when we walk by faith, all things are truly possible. When we walk in faith, believing it is done, it happens. The fact that Jesus did return to the Father, in this passage, Jesus says he has to return to the Father. The fact that he returned to his Father should encourage us enough. Because if Jesus has returned to the Father, he's interceding on our behalf. The Holy Spirit interprets even when we're praying. We might be praying and don't get all the words right, but if we're praying in faith, the Holy Spirit kind of cleans it up. You know, sometimes when you're writing something, you don't know if you spelled it right. And sometimes when you're texting stuff, that auto-check will change the word. I got to always tell us, when you're texting stuff, you need to take time to read it before you hit send. Because you don't know how she done changed that thing on you. I got some real crazy texts before, and then they had to come out and, oh, Pastor, I apologize. I didn't mean to text that. But isn't it wonderful to know that the Holy Spirit is interpreting our very thoughts, our prayers before God to help ensure that what we're praying and what we're serious about, that God, in fact, will do because he's promised that in our lives. So we pray. Jesus intercedes. He's praying for us. He's interceding for us. Of course, when we say that greater things will happen, it's not because we are so great that great things happen. It's because greater lies within us. Because of the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit in us and guiding us and protecting us and leading us, it's the presence of the Holy Spirit that allows us to do the greater work Jesus is talking about. The Lord is working. He's working in us. Philippians 2 and 13 says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." In other words, we're working and God is working in us, not just for the sake of working in us, but it's so it pleases him. So that's all we got to do. Get our minds and our hearts set up with what God wants. And when we seek to please him, everything is open for us. Nothing is out of reach. And I know sometimes we think, I don't really want to do what God wants, because what God wants to do ain't no fun. I'm used to doing the stuff I do that's fun. But understand, the stuff that is not of God that you do, that we say is fun, most of the time is addictive. And that's on purpose. But if we ever say, God, have your way in my life, let me do it your way. Now, a lot of times, we get to that point when we get to the very, 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 very bottom in life, when it gets so bad, you know, and we can't see our way out. When they're coming to get us, when it's so terrible, then all of a sudden we say, Lord, what you want me to do? How you want me to do it? If you get me out of this, God, I'll do this. But you don't have to go through all that when you love God. He allows you to understand what he wants you to do, and you can do it without having to go through all the stuff. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are the called according to the purpose. But the song helps us with, oh, what needless pains we bear. Sometimes we're going through some stuff we don't really have to go through. And sometimes there are other folk who can help you in the midst of what you're going through. That's what our whole ministry initiative is about. There are some folk that can help you be able to purchase a house without paying as much as you have on the side for the down payment. There are some folk that can tell you what the great loans are and what some grants are and where some opportunities are in life. And you might be sitting right next to the person. But we've never taken the time to communicate and talk with each other about how God can bless us in the midst of what it is we're trying to do. Some folk have gone through some very terrible times and can tell you through what they've gone through, no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do it this way. You say, well, I won't get caught. No, you still don't want to do that. There are others who can share with us how we can get to other places in life, because God has placed it within us. And our ministry is all about us sharing with each other and sharing with others outside of these walls. What would happen if people realized that a place to be a place you can go to not just get Jesus, and I'm not undermining getting Jesus. Let me say it again. If you could go to a place to not just get Jesus, but you could get Jesus and jobs. You could get Jesus and begin to own a home. You could get Jesus and maybe even start a business. You could get Jesus and be better off in what's going on even in this world. We don't have to wait till we die to get the pie in the sky. God has so much more for us now, but he plans on doing that through us. He equips every last one of us to do the work he called us to do. And all of us have been gifted to do the work God wants us to do. Greater expectations is a spiritually natural consequence of faith. You expect and you anticipate better, and greater comes because of your faith. When we obey God, we're blessed of God. And we do not obey God simply because we want our prayers answered. We obey God because we love him. And the more we obey him, the more we experience his love. When it says keep his commandments, that just basically means treasure his commandments, guard his commandments, respect what he wants us to do. And we know he wants us to love him with all our heart, mind, and soul, and therefore we need to love one another. When he says greater works I have done, you will do, just think about what greater works we could do. Now I know you say, well, Jesus walked on water. I can't do a greater work than that. Jesus turned water into wine. I've been trying to do that for years. It ain't worked. I got to buy mine. But what he's really talking about, think about it. Think about what a great miracle is. What a great miracle it would be if we, just the ones sitting in this building right now, if we decided that we would love everybody in spite of what they've done, in spite of how they've done it, in spite of what they posted on Facebook and Instagram. We decide we're going to love them in spite of how they're treating us and what's happening. Do you realize the number of shootings and murders that happen in our community? How lessened it would be if people responded to how people treated them in more of a Christ-like manner? Amen. Instead of getting mad and I gotta let you know who I am. I gotta let you know how I feel. I ain't gonna let you get away with that. You're gonna call me names if I let you get away with that. No, no. Let's call you holy. Let's call you loving. Let's call you forgiving. What would happen if our whole community does that? And I don't begrudge our young men, our young women, when they talk about how the young people today are just so violent, carrying guns, shooting everybody and all this. I don't begrudge that, because you have to understand something. They got to learn this behavior from somewhere. So as adults, and those of us who are seniors, we might think nothing about just talking about somebody saying, I can't stand them around the young people. You know, I wish they were dead. They got my last nerve. All right. Young people hear it and take it to a whole nother level. What happened if they hear you talk about, you know, I'm praying for them in spite of what they said? I'm going to love that brother. I'm going to love that sister. We're going to make it through all this. We're going to make it through every trial, every tribulation. And listen, God is saying if we have that kind of attitude and we have that kind of meaning in our life, he's saying now you ask whatever you want in my name and I give it to you. Psalms put it this way. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. If your first thought is about how does God want this done, if your first thought is how can I give God the praise, if your first thought is what can I do that this brother or this sister or this group who's seeing me, what can I do to help them say, you know what, there must be a God somewhere. I want to love like you love because I can see God's love in you. We would transform an entire community if we could get folk to just get along and not take sides and make folk get even worse. What would happen if we could get folk in high places to realize it's so much better to get along for the purpose of God's will being done. If they would talk to each other in such a way till they would really want to see what's best for the community happens. What would happen if you could sit down with folk and let them know? And I tell you, you have to recognize whoever in whatever position, they're just like we are. They're human. I'll never forget how police chief, our last police chief, who kept talking about when people talking about how bad the police are. The police are doing this, they're doing that, they treat you so bad, they're so terrible, whatever else. And Chief Lumpkin, everywhere we went, I'll never forget what Chief Lumpkin would say when we talk about, we get him in a meeting and we'll start talking about the police did this, the police did that, this officer did this, this officer. He said, okay, oh, time out. He said, okay, tell you what. You find me a person who has a good moral character and not doing the stuff you're talking about, I'll hire him. Because police are people. And inevitably, everybody look at, I don't want to be no policeman. So then the folk that want to be a policeman end up being a policeman for whatever reason they want to be a policeman. That goes true for every walk of life. So what happens if those of us who love God would take on those positions and would take on whatever we need to take on in order so God can get glory and not sit back and say, you know, I'm going to let somebody else do that because, you know, I just don't feel like doing that. But if God is calling you to do a greater work, you need to do a greater work that God is calling you to do so his word can be done and his will can be done. We obey him because we love him. Believing prayer is wonderful medicine to soothe a troubled heart. Notice what Philippians 4:4-7 says. This talking to us, those who love the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. And Paul said again, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Let me say that again. Don't be anxious. Don't get worried. Don't get mad. Don't get frustrated about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Don't get all bent out of shape about anything. Don't get so mad that you want to kill somebody about anything. Don't get so frustrated that you're going to hate anybody about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. Amen. Before you get ready to tell them off, tell God about it. Before you get to that extra little point, just tell God about it. Let God work in that. Listen, whenever you get so upset and so mad, you got to cuss somebody out or you got to do something bad to them or you got to tell them they're another one, you got to do whatever it is. That has never solved anything. Now, I know what you're saying. Oh, no, Pastor, you don't know. When I cuss them out, I feel better. But do you? And if you do, for how long? Because when God lives in you, that's not a great feeling. And then what makes matters worse, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you done that, now you got to go back to the same person and apologize for what you said. It's best not to have said in the first place. But look at what he says. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. In other words, when you're praying, be thankful for what you're going through because all things work together for good. You're going to thank God no matter what the circumstance is that you're going through. In everything, give thanks. Because God is working it out for you. You got to have that kind of faith. I don't see how God is working it out. I don't understand how God is working it out. I don't feel good like God's working it out, but I'm going to give him thanks because the word said give him thanks because I know he's working it out for me. Yeah. Sometimes God uses you to get somebody else. Yeah. It's his will being done. He wants somebody else saved. He might put you through something just so somebody else will come to know Christ. Because that's what's important. We might have all the comfort we want to have here. You might have all the money you want to have here. You might have all the cars you want to have here. You might have everything you want to have here. It makes absolutely no sense to get everything you want down here and die and go to hell. Because you're going to be there a lot longer than you were here. So it's so important to say, God, thank you for the greatness you placed in me. Thank you for the love you put in me. And Lord, help me to live day by day in such a way that others may see the love, others may see the joy, others may see the peace. Look at what this text says. It says, again, Philippians 4, it says this, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Woo! Let me say what they're saying, and I'm done. We would like to think, once I pray, God, fix this, that God's going to run like a cosmic bellhop and take care of whatever it is. That's the kind of life we really want to live. We want God to fix it. When I pray about it, God, fix this, fix this, fix this. Do this, do this. Give me this, give me this, give me that. He said, no, 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 no. He said, no matter what the circumstance is, you pray. Look how he said pray. You pray. You petition him with thanksgiving. Bring a request to God. Now, what will God do? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ. In other words, whatever the situation you're praying about that you want God to hurry up and fix and God to get it right, instead of God fixing that thing, God said, I'll fix you. Yeah. I'll put you in a position where you'll be able to get through what you're going through. I give you a peace that nobody can understand what you're going through. And through that peace that you're going through, it works out for his will because others can see that peace in you and others will want the same peace you got. And when they ask you, how can you have so much peace in the midst of this turmoil? How can you be so joyful in the midst of this sadness? How can you get through all you're going through? That's when you begin to say, not because I'm so educated, not because I'm so pretty, not because I just live on the right side of town or have the right bank account. No, you say it's because God loved me so much that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. You can have him in your life as well and can have the peace and the joy that I get through knowing him. Keep trusting God. Keep believing God. Yeah, we can do this. We can do this. Do you believe that God will do what he says he will do? God can fix it. You need to believe he can. And again, you've heard me say this over and over again. How does God fix it? It's not because he snapped his finger. It's not because he blinked his eyes. It's not because he waved his hand. It says he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, but it's according to the power that works in us. Because God lives in us, he will use us to get his will done. That's why we can't look at each other like nobody matters. We have to look at each other like everybody matters. You don't know who it's going to be that God will use to make that transformation in your life that you need made. I know folk will tell me, well, some folk tell me it's about some preacher or another. I don't want to hear nothing they got to say. I don't want to hear them. I don't want to hear nothing. I said, but you don't know. God may have something for you in there. Well, I don't like that. I don't like. Well, let me ask you a question. If you're out in the ocean and you're drowning and a ship comes by, are you going to say, oh, I don't want you to throw me the life preserver. I know your life. I know how you've been living. No, you don't throw me a life preserver. Is somebody else up there can throw me one? And that's kind of how we act. Begin to judge each other. When God is saying to us, he's the only judge. That's right. Amen. He needs us to love each other in such a way that he could get a message to us so we'll live for him each and every day. God did great work through men and women, through our civil rights movement. God did great work through those who have served down through the years. God did great work through ordinary people. God used them during difficult times under the banner of his word. Nonviolence, peace, love in the midst of chaos and confusion. Is there a word from the Lord now? Out of all they've been through, same word. Same word, same God. I know folk think about slavery and how our people were able to go through slavery as they went through, how they were able to have families, even though many times their families were taken apart and they were sold. But yet through all of that, they continued to persevere. Well, how do you know, Pastor, that they persevered? Look at where you're sitting right now.
In the midst of being enslaved, at night, by lantern, by bonfire, they built this building that we're worshiping in right now. They could have taken the money to purchase their freedom. They could have taken their money to have a better situation right now. Like all of us, I want a better situation right now. But they took what they had and they built a sanctuary to God at night after working all day in the fields, working all day, but at night built this facility, this sanctuary, this place we come worship. They did it as if they were trusting God. Same word, Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added. So instead of trying to get together and purchasing their freedom, some of their freedom, they said, we're going to build a sanctuary to God. And this building was dedicated in 1861. And less than 2 years later, Abraham Lincoln signs an Emancipation Proclamation that not only do they get their freedom, but all those in all the slave states as well. It pays to trust the Lord and to know that he'll work it out in your life. So take time right now to say, yes, we got to do it. We got to work in such a way. We got to find out, how can I use what God has given me to make a difference in all of society, to make a difference in my family, to make a difference in my life, to make a difference everywhere I go. We know that all of us have trials and tribulations. Every last one of us going through something. And everybody thinks they're going through something is worse than somebody else going through something. But it's all just something. But God is a God who will help us in the midst of what we got to go through. He'll bring us a joy that only can come from knowing him. He'll bring us a peace that can only pass all understanding. He'll bring everything that we need. Well, Lord, how do I get that peace? How do I get that joy? How do I get out of feeling like I'm feeling? How do I get to a way that you want to do it? I'm glad you asked. He sent his son through 42 generations. And as Jesus came to this earth, went about doing good, he showed us how we ought to live. He showed us how we ought to love. Even when they got him and they crucified him with nails in his hands, nails in his feet, crown of thorns in his head, even as he died on the cross for all of our sins, he even said, Father, forgive them. And there was one, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He kept on ministry, even in the midst of his hurt, even in the midst of his pain. He died that we might have life. But we understand that early on that third day, he got up from the grave with power. Power of the grave and victory over death. That same Holy Ghost power dwells within us today to be more what God would have us to be. The question is, will we allow God to take first place in our lives, to be everything he wants us to be? Matter of fact, at this point, I'm going to start with prayer before we have an invitation to discipleship. If you right now know that whatever you're going through, whatever the tribulation it is, whatever the hardship might be, but you want to say, God, work in me in such a way, transform me, God, that your will can be done in me, I'm going to invite you to come and stand with me as we pray together, that God will move his own transforming way in all of our lives. There's so much more we can do, but there's so much that we're going through, that no matter what you're going through, God knows. God cares. God will help you. Just say to the Lord, I need your help. That's all coming here saying now is, Lord, I need your help. That's all it's saying. And we're going to pray to him to get the help you need. We're going to ask him to fix it. We're going to ask him to turn it around. We're going to ask him because we trust him. We believe him. We believe he's God all by himself. Now, don't think because you come up here, folks gonna say, oh, I don't know why she went up there. I'm trying to figure out why they went up there. No, just figure out why you coming.
Yeah, all right, yeah, all right, yeah.
Just figure you out. Because God got this. God even knows what you're about to go through.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you might want to come because you're not sure about what tomorrow holds.
Jesus.
You might want to come and say, Lord, I need you to help me with what I'm about to go through.
Yes, Lord.
But trust God on the day. We're going to pray that God would touch, he would move, he would strengthen, he would bless. He will answer prayers. There might be prayer for employment. There might be a prayer for owning your own business. It might be prayer for wealth. It might be prayer. But whatever you ask God for, ask God to help you to have it so you can use it to bring others to know him.
Yeah.
When you pray in his will, he said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. That's the prayer we're talking about.
Yeah.
If you're praying, God, help our church family to be on one accord.
Yeah.
then interpret that prayer and say, Lord, help me to not talk down our church family.
Yes, my Lord.
Use me to do what you want me to do,
yes,
that you might get glory. You want a better marriage? Lord, make my wife a better wife. Make my husband a better husband.
Yes.
Come with the prayer saying, Lord, make me a better spouse. Because you're a better spouse, you'll probably find a better spouse.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Lord God, we love you, we adore you, we magnify your name.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for loving us and caring for us in such a special way.
Yes,
God, you know what we need.
Yes, Lord.
So we come humbly before you right now.
Yes.
Thank you for everything you place in us.
Yes.
Your love, your grace, your mercy.
The
power to do right. The power to transform our communities. Thank you, God, for power.
Thank
you for strength.
Thank
you for just an opportunity on this brand new day to be a brand new me. Use us now, God, as instruments of your peace, that those who don't know you will come to know you, and that those who know you will grow in you. Bless us now, God, in a special way. You know the concerns. You know what's on our minds. If there's a need for healing, God, we pray that you heal right now in the name of Jesus. There's a need for finances, God. We pray that you set it right in the name of Jesus. There's a pray for relationships. We pray that you mend it right now in the name of Jesus. God, whatever the need might be, we turn it over to you right now. Have your way in our lives, and we will give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Bless us, God, so we can truly be a blessing unto others. Let us do your will, your way. We thank you. We love you. We adore
you.
Count it all joy. In Jesus' name we pray.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, Givelify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.